grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I'm not going to lie, this is my favorite day of the year. I love it more than Christmas and Easter combined. I love All Saints Day. Today is the day that the entire Christian church around the world celebrates all of the saints of her, the church. It's so wonderful because we get to, at this moment in time, worship with all of those people who call themselves Christians, who are saved in the palm of our Heavenly Father, of all time and in all places, and even those who are celebrating even now in heaven. It's a wonderful, wonderful day. We get to exclaim with everyone seated at the throne of God, Amen. Blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. I love this day so much because it affirms in us who we are, children of our Heavenly Father. We are labeled and given this from the moment that God called us, from the moment that the world began. But I've been looking a lot about what it means to be a child of God, what it means to have this label be put upon us, and also the fact that as people living in 2020, we're very much comfortable with labeling ourselves. I mean, think about even what happens around us. When you're born, you're given a label. Now, I don't mean a boy or a girl. That one is obvious from the get-go. I mean, when you are born, you are given a label. If you were born in between, I'm trying to remember here, the 1940s to the 1970s, congratulations, you've been labeled as a boomer. Even before those, there was the labeling of the greatest generation. Let's say you were born a little bit after that, maybe going toward 1980s, about 85 being that kind of cutoff time. Congratulations, you are now labeled as a Generation X. I have no idea why they started with X. Why not just go back to A? I don't know. Congratulations if you are like me, being born in between the years of 1985 to 1994. Congratulations, you are considered a millennial. And after that, you can now consider the newest generation, Generation Z. I have, once again, no idea why they just start at the end of the alphabet. It makes no sense. But with these labels, we've come to take on that there are some preconceptions that come with them. Some good and some bad. For instance, if you are considered labeled as a boomer, you are considered to do very good and have a very driven work ethic. You know what needs to be done, and you're going to try to get it done in the best way you know possible. You're driven like that, and that's wonderful. If you are labeled as a Generation X, there's a wonderful label that you have there because it means that you can span generations. You're a wonderful mediator, and that you, because you can just see both sides, are able to facilitate the conversation between multiple people. If you're a millennial, you have a wonderful idea of diversity and being able to make sure that people that you see that they not only get the job done, but it is done well for the betterment of the entire people. If you're a Generation Z, congratulations, you are by far the most adaptable in figuring out technology and figuring out how that it works. And you're so fantastic at it that you can actually use it to better yourself in ways that other generations never could. It's amazing. But so often in our human nature, we turn these labels and we use them for something that they're not. For instance, a boomer, stuck in your ways, can't do anything unless you know how to do it, won't listen to other ideas outside of yourself. For Generation X, you're just kind of there. You kind of just let people walk all over you. You just want to make sure everyone's happy that you don't even go into conflict. Millennials, lots been said about my generation lately. Lazy, snowflakes, not wanting to be in the real world. Generation Z, too addicted to their phones, their screens, and not being able to communicate with those around them. When we usually see as labels, we don't see them as good things. Even the fact that we are labeled in these generational categories was just a way for people to market to each other better, that they could figure out how to market a product better to another set of people. So when people hear the word children of God, that's a label. That is given to us by birth. And yet, what do we mean by what that means? And today, especially on All Saints' Day, when we celebrate the fact that we are children of God, what does that mean for people looking at us? What does that mean for ourselves looking at ourselves? Who are we in the light of God? What does it mean to be His children? Jesus gives us a wonderful insight on this. He gives it to us in His Beatitudes, which is why when you have these wonderful pieces of Scripture, it's always connected in some way with All Saints' Day. Because here in the blessings of Jesus, we see what it means to truly be children of God. And I'm going to actually work backwards a little bit, working from the end of His blessings to the beginning of them, to unpack what this means. He says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." We see these things, and in them, these statements, we see God's plan for His children. We are to be merciful and pure in heart. Okay, go do that. Can you? It gets to a point here in the Beatitudes where we hear these blessings, and so often we can make them lists of things we have to do. To be a children of God means I have to be merciful, I have to be a peacemaker, I have to do this, I have to do that. No. This is not what the Beatitudes are about. To be children of God is to be merciful, to be peaceful, be peacemakers. But it's all going to do with God. To be a children of God, to be who we are, is to fully rely on Christ. For you see, we can be merciful, for we have been shown mercy. We can have peacemakers because our peace has already been won for us. We are blessed because it has already been given to us. To be children of God is to fully rely on Christ, who is altogether merciful, who is altogether peaceful. When Christ says here, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy," He is saying they are receiving mercy already from their Father in heaven and will continue to eternity to have that mercy, to have that peace. Because of that, we show it in our lives. We are giving these things for the sake of Christ. But even more than having this mercy and peace being given to us is a wonderful foundation of being God's children. Jesus fills our emptiness. He promises, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Each of these are wonderful. To hear these promises that Christ gives to His people is such a blessing. But there's a tension. Each of these blessings we have are felt right now and yet not yet. We know that there are things around us that are just going absolutely insane. For those who have been saved by the cross of Christ, those who are called His children, who are clutched tightly in God's hand, God does give them comfort, satisfaction, and a great inheritance to come. But in October of this year, around us, the number of COVID cases has nearly doubled. My son was in the hospital for the second time in this year. My aunt, as of Thursday, is in hospice care with 3 days to live. I know God gives me comfort. I know God is there with me. I know that when I hunger and thirst for His righteousness, I can have it there in myself as I read His scriptures, as I remember Christ's sacrifice on His cross and the resurrection from the dead. I have all of that, and yet I feel numb. For the pain, for the world around me. This too is what it means to be God's child. It's to live in this tension. For we know that we have abundant mercy, abundant life. But we will see it more fully in the last day, in that small glimpse that John had in his revelation. When all the saints surround God in glory, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, or there shall be no more hunger, no more thirst, for He will supply all things. It's a wonderful thing that we as Christians hope for, that we know that God gives us His comfort even today in His body and blood, that we will celebrate, and yet we still live in this tension. But God is there with us. God promises that as His children, He was there for, He'll be there for them. If you go throughout the entire Bible, you will see that no matter how badly God's children, the people of Israel, screwed up, and they did that quite a bit, God never abandoned His promise. The promises of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob followed through all the way to a small baby born in a manger. You can actually track that promise as it goes throughout the entire Bible, something I've been enjoying doing with my own son every night. You can see where the promises of God come, and they come fully made manifest in His Son, who declares that the kingdom of God is here and now. He declares His rule and His power upon His own cross, that all people of all times will look upon it and see Him, the Lord of life, given for our life. And that all time and all places, people may look to His resurrection from the dead and know God's promises are sure, that He will raise all people on the last day from the dead, and He will deliver judgment to them in His divine mercy. For us, it is to that wonderful, blessed, perfect heaven on earth. For others, it will not be that way. But this is where God's promises come even more. He actually begins His blessings in the Beatitudes with this statement, which is so important for us as children of God to understand. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. It often makes me wonder what Christ meant here by poor in spirit. And if you go to commentaries, you listen to other sermons, and you listen to theologians, they've debated this for centuries upon centuries. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Does it mean to have a small faith, the faith the size of a mustard seed? Does it mean to have no possessions? Does it mean to physically be poor? No. None of those things. Here in the beginning statement of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, here the very first blessing that Christ gives to His people of all time and all places, to all people who have ears to let them hear, He says this: blessed are you who are poor in spirit. We as ourselves cannot accomplish anything in the spirit. Even the greatest person in the world, with the strongest body, the strongest, the smartest mind of any generation, whether you want to be a Generation X, a boomer, a millennial, a Generation Z, or any generation that came before or will come after, It doesn't matter if they were the strongest person, the smartest person, the wisest person. Everyone is poor in spirit, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They cannot help themselves in the spirit, for they are crushed. But God says, blessed are those who cannot help themselves. Blessed are those who cannot help themselves in the spirit, who cannot accomplish anything for their own salvation, because theirs is the kingdom of God. In this one moment, this one small saying, Christ is saying to all people of all times and all places that God's kingdom is theirs. That all people of all generations, no matter who you are or what you've done, God calls you to be by His side. God calls you in saying that His heaven is open wide. The doorway is small, for it comes through Christ alone, through faith alone, through His Word alone, and is received by His grace alone. And so the kingdom is vast and open, welcoming all people. It's a wonderful thing, especially today. It's important to be reminded of these things. Who knows when Christ will come again? He might come now at about 10:05. I don't know. I've lost an hour of sleep. Or gained an hour. I'm not quite sure. When you have a 6-month-old son who wakes you up about 3 to 5 times a night, you kind of get lost with how many hours you actually get. But I know that Christ will come again. I know that when I find, if He doesn't come in my lifetime and my eyes finally close to sleep, I will immediately be there on the last day. I will immediately know that I am there with all of my brothers and sisters in Christ, my family who has come before, who will come after, for everyone here who I will meet at one side and the next when I shall see clearly God face to face. Of all times and all places, to be called children of God is to have this wonderful gift for us. To be called children of God is to know that we have been redeemed by Christ Jesus alone. To be children of God is to know that even though we live in this world of tension, that God is still here for us. And we know that to be called children of God, to be who we are, is to be called to His heavenly home. And so I look forward to that day, when at one day, I, with all the faithful, can join in that heavenly chorus. We do so today in anticipation for what is to come. So, my brothers and sisters in Christ, with all people of God, and of all people around the world and in all ages to come, we declare Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.